Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. And also at this time, we hold the heads of government worldwide that they make their decision out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing our thoughts, bringing our thought to the right now, releasing any thought of the future or the past, just presencing yourself in the moment. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal column. Very powerful visualization. Silver spinning disc moving up your back, all the way up into the back of your neck, the back of your head, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Bringing your attention to the point between your eyebrows. And know as I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. The fullness of divine wisdom, understanding, intelligence, creativity itself, and unconditional love. Being omnipresence, I am immersed in it. Therefore, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me right now. Today, I heighten and expand my awareness, my understanding, and expression to a new thought, a new context in which to live my life. I expand my consciousness to the realization that humankind, that I am physical, mental, emotional, and all these aspects of me are all spiritual. Today I observe, I examine, I inquire, I strengthen, and I action the art of touching people's lives. I touch other people in deep and meaningful ways, and I allow others to touch me. I innately have a desire to make a difference, and I realize at a deeper level how very much others want to make a difference. Today, I am willing to make a connection. I first make that connection within myself, and I extend myself out to others. I, being who I really am, a spiritual being, that is who touches people and who is being touched. Thank you, God, for this conscious realization. Thank you for each person gathered here in spiritual community. Thank you for our world and universe and my relationship to them. most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. This morning's topic is the art of touching people's lives. And it's my hope and desire that as we be with this topic this morning and move through our life in the future, that we become more consciously aware than ever before of how we touch people's lives and how other people touch our life. But it's very important, as I said in the meditation, that first of all, that we get in touch with ourselves, ourself at that intrinsic level of who we really are as a spiritual being. So three things I want to address this morning. First of all, for us to look at the context, the container in which we hold our life. And I've made this statement many times from the front, and so many times people say to me, I never quite thought of it that way, but it just made so much more sense to me. We do not here at the center believe that we're physical, mental, and spiritual beings. We believe that we are physical, mental, and emotional beings, and they are all spiritual. There's not any part of us that isn't spiritual. So our physicality is spiritual, our mental thoughts, concepts, ways of communicating is spiritual, and of course our emotions are spiritual. So there isn't just a part of us that is spiritual. Second thing I want to address is realizing how much people want to make a difference in our life, and that intrinsically we also do. Now, who we are makes a difference. However, it's like how we be in life, how we action, how we behave, out of that who we are that I'm speaking about this morning. And then the third point I want to share with you, that we are in others' lives and others are in our life for a reason, a season, and sometimes a lifetime. So, first of all, the physical. Just take a moment, if you will, with me, please, and look at your hands, your own hands. How unique. What a miracle. Turn them over. Wow. Think of how they have served you. Think of their uniqueness, their beauty, and they are an instrument of universal life, as the reading said. I think it's week after next, I'm going to be speaking about the heart's code, something that Dr. Paul Pearsall wrote about in his book entitled That. But it says in the heart's code, and I know many of you like to hold hands here, especially when we're singing the closing song. And some people are kind of hesitant, especially if they're new. It's like, what is this hand-holding business? This is what he says about holding hands. Dr. Paul Pearsall is a psychoneuroimmunologist. He says, when we join hands, we're joining our hearts. And L energy. What's the L energy? It's the life energy that carries our heart's code. When we hold hands, we're directly exchanging this subtle L energy. And you know, hands act as leads in electrocardiograms too. But when we hold hands, we establish measurable energetic connection between two hearts that is measurable in hearts and brains of both people. So there's quite a bit of significance there to holding hands. And of course, there's not only that physical holding hands, there's such things as massaging ourselves and other people. Foot massages, hand massages, body massages, back scratches, hugs. It's been said that we need 4 hugs a day for survival. 4 to manage ourselves, just to manage being in the world, and 12 for growth. Have you had your share today? No. I remember my husband, Norman's here, I remember my husband was the chief greeter at the Center for Self-Awareness for years. And at the university, when we used to rent the facility, people used to line up for his hugs. And some people used to say, "Do you know, this is the only hug I've gotten all week." So if you're new today and there's a little bit of hugging going on, that's okay too. And here's Norman. He would love you to go and hug him. He didn't tell me to say this either. Touch. Touch satisfies our skin hunger need, and it is a need. It's a biological and an emotional need. Babies who aren't touched and handled when they're really, really tiny wither and die. Neuropsychologist James Prescott says that the deprivation of body touch is the cause of a number of emotional disturbances: depressive and autistic behavior, hyperactivity, sexual aberration, some drug abuse, aggression, and violence. I was reading an article a while back that made the statement that teens become involved in sexual intercourse when all they want is non-sexual touching. Those who have had skin hunger satisfied are less influenced by peer pressure, especially with negative consequences. They're more secure, they're more satisfied with themselves, and they tend to have higher self-esteem. They're able to withstand when they're in the face of fear, and withstand if there's any non-acceptance going on, and the possibility of even being cut off by their peers. There's a tendency to drink less and to use drugs less. Now, those of you who are couples, you'll like this. Couples can make up the deficit. The easiest way is to sleep nude. It seems to heal people at a deep level of the psyche. Now, you can leave your garments at the foot of the bed in case there was an emergency and put them on. So, you know, when we talk about mental touching, I don't even like the word mental, but how about smiles? That's a touch. How about gestures? There are gestures. Just reaching out, touching people like that. Words, cards, affirmative prayer. Acknowledging people. truly complimenting people, and I'm not speaking about flattery now, complimenting out of your admiration for them and your sincere acknowledgement. And then, of course, there's the emotional realm, which is energy in motion, but it's energetically, and it's our feelings. How we feel when we're in the presence of people. Just going back to speaking for a moment, it also includes apologizing and saying we're sorry. It's not about saying, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that. But it's acknowledging that there was a better way. You're not acknowledging that you are bad when you apologize. I remember Barbara DeAngelis, who has written a couple of wonderful books. And I was watching one of her videos a while back, and she reiterated about that I'm sorry goes a long way. And she was especially reminding the men in the audience. Not that only men should say they're sorry, but I think has been the case that they're a little more reluctant to say it than women are. And that's changing. Thank God for that. Next week I'm going to be speaking about loving ourselves, and that's, you know, the whole topic this month is love. Unconditional love, and our theme this year is expressing and experiencing that who we really are is love at the core. But loving ourselves is so big. And I wanted to particularly touch in one specific area about healing toxic relationships. Now, some of you think, well, you know, I'm not in a toxic relationship, but we're going to look a little deeper in that. It's not only significant others or somebody that's maybe struck out and hit or been violent, but there's abuse that goes on mentally and emotionally. It's all spiritual. And it's not only with our family and our significant others. It can be with our coworkers. It can be with our acquaintances. It can be with people that we work on in committees like that. So I invite you to be here and invite your friends. I said earlier that intrinsically we want to make a difference and other people want to make a difference to us. I remember Norman and I took a lot of instruction from Dr. Harry Roeder of the Energy and Man and Concept Therapy movement. And I remember him saying something like this. He says, it's something like if you had a bucket of water and you're alive and you put your finger in that bucket of water. And the analogy is when you make your transition, you know, like the analogy is lift out the finger. And what happens in the bucket of water is that there's a little bit of ripple there, you know. Then it ends up dying down after a while. But we're more than that finger in a bucket. Like, who we are can touch people's lives in such a way that we've touched their hearts and lives forever. And because of them, because of that, they touch other people's lives also. Ever notice how good you feel when you touch somebody else's life? And notice how they respond. So I'm thinking about people in my life. You all touch my life. And I was particularly thinking of Norman, my life partner. We've been married for 31 years. We blended together 9 children. We now have 13 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren, all in Alberta. And when I think of when he touched my life the most, and what drew me to him was his sense of humor, and his ability to cry. Because what drew us together really closely, we were working together in real estate many years ago in Edmonton, was the murder of a colleague of ours from our office. And we cried a lot together over that. Thank you, Frank, for your sharing today about A Course in Miracles and about feeling the feelings and communicating them. It's so important. We all know that when someone has expressed to us their innate feelings, how we have been touched and blessed by that. And it wasn't only when we laughed a lot and cried a lot. We were touched with each other when we moved through some very severe things in our life. His own near-death experience many years ago, and then mine, and raising our blended family. You know, I love to receive cards. And Norman doesn't get out and drive and buy cards anymore, and he writes me letters now, love letters. But I want to read to you a little bit about a card that he gave me a while back. And I know it's from him to me, but I think it speaks to everyone when we know that we have someone in our life that we love. I'll just read you a little bit of it. I love you not only for what and who you are, I love you for what I am when I'm with you. I love you for not only for what you have made of yourself, but what I make of me when I'm with you. I love you for passing over my foolish and weak traits that you can't help but see. I love you for drawing out into light my beauty that no one else has looked quite far enough to find. Thank you, dear. Leo Buscaglia, who's made his transition now, but I just love the man and have some videos of him. He shared something called Things You Didn't Do, and it was a newlywed who had a husband in Vietnam. Excuse me, I need to blow my nose. This is a newlywed writing. And there's a figure of speech when she says, I thought you'd kill me. You know that figure of speech, she didn't mean it that way, but you know what she meant. She says, I remember the day I borrowed your car and I dented it, your new car. I thought you'd kill me, but you didn't. I remember the time we went to the beach and I said, it'll rain, and it didn't. And I thought you'd say, I told you so, but you didn't. I flirted just enough to make you jealous. And I thought you'd leave me, but you didn't. I spilled blueberry pie on the new rug, and I thought you'd pound me, but you didn't. I remember the time I invited you to a dance, and I forgot to tell you it was formal. I thought you'd drop me, but you didn't. There were lots of things you didn't do, yet you put up with me. There were lots of things I wanted to tell you and to make up to you, and you got back, but you didn't. You didn't make it back from the war. I always have the privilege of leading memorial services, and in a memorial service, I always read a little poem before it is too late, and it's about speaking that tender word to people before it is too late, to touch them, because people are really, some people are dying for that. So other people have touched our lives, or our children, whether we have children ourselves, other people's children, teens, kids. There was a woman reflecting because she heard it would be a good thing for us to treat our kids like we do our best friends. Not that our kids are our friends, but to treat them just like we do our best friends. And she got to thinking. She thought, she never says, it's about time you got here. Take your shoes off. Shut the door. Go easy on that dip. You're fidgeting. You better go to the bathroom. Don't throw the towel on the floor while you're in there. Just a half a glass of milk for you, you'll probably spill it. Can't you at least have one spoonful? No, no dessert until you scrape your plate. Sit up, use a napkin. She thought, oh my God. She says, I wouldn't treat my friends that way. So she was contemplating this, and her son walked through the door, and he came in, and she said, how nice it is to see you. And he says, what did I do now? Oh. I was thinking of friends. I've done whole topics on friendships, but I just want to say two things today about friends. A friend hears the song in my heart and sings it to me when my memory fails. And I used to have this up on a plaque on the back, near the back door where our kids used to put on their gloves and mitts and everything to go to school, and their boots in Edmonton. And it was interesting. One of our kids came home one time and they said they had to speak extemporaneously in English class that day. He says, and I talked about that plaque near the back door. And I thought, wow, great. This was the plaque. I still have it. A friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts who you've become, and still gently invites you to grow. I was reading about a little girl who came home late, and the mother was quite worried. She says, how come you're so late from school? She says, well, my friend Janie's doggy died, and I had to help her cry. And it's not that we get down there when people are real, you know, sad and cry with them for as long as maybe they do when they're going through something. But sometimes we do shed a tear with them, and for them, and to be with them. And it's a true communication. It's a true heart connection. So last week I spoke about the power of love, and could we actually even live and experience the power of love even through conflict? And I spoke about having the intention, remembering who we are, and listening, and inserting understanding and compassion and gratitude. But touching people's lives certainly includes listening to them. Really, really listening to them. So when we think about people who want to make a difference and who have made a difference to us, and we want to make a difference to them, it's like everyone. So include in that, as you move through this in your life at a higher level, your coworkers, anyone that you're working on a committee or a task team with, anyone like that, not only just your friends, your children, your significant other, and your extended family. Expand your circle of really touching people. Expand your circle of encouraging people. You know, you look at that word encourage, to put courage in, encourage. You ever think about when kids are little and they're just learning how to walk? We have a great grandson that's just learning how to walk right now. And you know how they, you know, they hang on to the coffee table or whatever, and they get that look in their eye, and you know they're going to try it. You know, what do we say to them? We don't go and help them, do we? We stoop down and we say, come on, come on, you can do it, come on. And then they really get that look, you know. And then they let go and they take that one or two steps. And then they might fall. They might fall. And what do? We go, oopsie-daisy, there we go. We don't say, you fell flat on your ass, stay there. Now, I know nobody here would say that, but I think that there's something that goes on in sometimes people's lives that it's like, good, you're there, stay there, you know? Number of years ago, I really stretched out and did a topic about what it's like being me, and all my minister colleagues asked for a tape of that topic. Because I had learned at a conference that year that when we really let people know what it's like to be us, and four things to touch on, and you can just remember this, there are four H's, and this is what I shared from the heart in that topic. What was in my heart? What were my hopes? What I needed help with? And where I hurt? So I'm going to kind of conclude with reading you something about wise words. People come to our life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And when you figure it out, you'll know exactly how to be and do. When someone is in your life for a reason, it's usually to meet a need you have expressed outwardly or inwardly. And you may not even be conscious of it. They have come to assist you through a difficulty, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you perhaps physically, emotionally, all spiritually. They may sometimes seem like a godsend, and they are. They are there for a reason. You need them to be there. Then, without any wrongdoing on your part, or perhaps at an inconvenient time, this person will say or do something to bring the relationship seemingly to an end. Sometimes this person dies, makes their transition. Sometimes they just walk away. Sometimes act out and force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our own need has been met, our desire fulfilled, their work is done. When people come into your life for a season, it's because your turn has come to share and grow and learn. They may bring you an experience of peace, you may laugh. They may teach you something you have never done. They usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy. Believe it. It's for real, and it's for a season. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons. Those things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person anyway, and put what you have learned to use in all other relationships and areas in your life. It's been said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. Of Course in Miracles talks about us being students and teachers. So some teachers challenge us, some teachers push our buttons. Just know that they're touching a wounded part within us that hasn't been healed. And it's all providing an opportunity for us to receive value and to transform our lives. I was reading about a very powerful relationship enhancement exercise, and you know what it began and ended with? It began and ended with, "What I appreciate about you. What I appreciate about you." So next Saturday, is it Valentine's Day? Go out and pick out a Valentine card for yourself as an expression of your love for yourself, to set yourself up for next week's topic. And reach out and truly touch people's lives today and every day. Louise is going to play Reach Out and Touch. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place, and we can. And as she plays it, just stand, reach out and touch a few people. And just express your appreciation that they're here and you're here also.